Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Amen. We're blessed and highly flavored because we are the salt of the world. Amen. If you're not the salt of the world, you must be the pepper of the world. Praise God. Would you turn to the book of Revelation in chapter 12? Revelation in chapter 12. You know, one of the promises of God is about pouring out His Spirit. And when God pours out His Spirit, something begins to happen. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, not only do the scales come off your eyes, but you get a new language. And in this new language, you are able to speak directly to God. It is a promise to every believer. Now, while the word believe means to follow, and there's an area where we must follow. See, you can say you believe, but if you're not following, God doesn't look at you as a believer. See, the Bible says that you'll know them by their fruit. So if you say that you're a believer, but you don't follow, then you're really not a believer. See, things are tightening up now. Things are tightening up tremendously because we're coming to a close. You may not know what's going on, but it's time that you did. If you can't see what's going on in the world, there's a problem with you. If you don't understand what's happening, that you're being squeezed in every area and certain areas of your freedom is being taken and stolen from you, then you're deceived. Satan's greatest weapon is deception. And his power is fear. And there is Satan's kingdom. We don't gather together because of some religious thing. We gather together because of truth. And the Bible requires forsake not to assemble. For some of us that are not in fellowship, get your butts in fellowship and learn before you get taken out of position and die. Because who you serve when you die is where you go. But I've been a believer 30 years. Well, you've been claiming to be a believer for 30 years. But are you really a follower? Now, this may be harsh to you, but it's time to waken up because time's too short. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying, come on, wake up and let me open your eyes and let me open your ears and let me open your heart. Every year, the Lord gives me a simple word to share. And I want to share this word for 2014 that's coming. And it's just simple. Usually he tells me about nations and things that are about to happen. And this time he didn't. Because he said, that's a side now. That's a side. So I want to share this quick word with you. 2012 or 2014. Thank God that's gone, huh? He said it'll be a year of dimensional transition. And the pains of sorrow to which humanity shall undergo is in a continuous battle for control. Now I'm going to repeat that again. It is a year of dimensional transitions. See, people don't even know what's going on dimensionally. They don't understand. They're hearing about UFOs and hearing about all. Let me tell you, these things are true, but these are demons with technology. There is interdimensional interaction, much of it. Things are more exposed now. Year of dimensional transition and the pains of sorrow to which humanity shall undergo in the continuous battle for control. The depletions of man's conscience will allow conviction to be rejected by the many because of the captivity of their souls. Nations will rise with false victory, and anger, hatred, and perversion will be the leading menu. Many will fall into the pit of delusion, and my body will be trampled by words and stripes, yet she will arise, unify, gather, and fight. I will remove the scales of knowledge and hold back the spirits of fear for my people. So that means you need to get in position. The floods you see and the fires you hear are the parallels of the river of glory and a fire to refine my people. How many of y'all know there's a lot of flooding going on? There's a lot of fires going on all over. Those are parallels. He said the beast will begin to arise. And my people will begin to expose because her time is short and her departure draws near. I will gather my people and cover her when it storms and send her to rescue the after effects of wounded souls. It is no longer a concern of when, how, where, and who, because it is now. I am releasing the eyes of light and the tongues of fire to my warriors, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And that is a simple word for 2014. If I get more, I'll bring it. Simple. reality. One of the things God wants to do is bring reality, and is important. We're going to talk today about the seed of the serpent and get understanding of what's really happening. And we've discussed this multiple times about the war of seeds. In the book of Revelation in chapter 12, would you go there please, in verse 7. And it says, and war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we see that on the earth, before Adam and Eve were even created, Satan and his kingdom was already on the earth. Is everybody with me? We don't know the time span. We know that Lucifer was the praise and worship leader of the universe. Amen? We know that he was clothed with the stones and the jewels of the earth because it was precious. We know that he had timbrels and pipes because God breathed through him to bring praise and worship to the universe. We know that the earth was known as the mountain of God at that time of the universe. But then when Lucifer exalted himself, the Lord removed him, he shut down the earth, and that's when we had the ice age. But there was another, what we might call ice age, but it was during the flood, when God destroyed the earth with the flood. So we see here, on the earth before the creation of man, Lucifer and his fallen angels were already sentenced to the earth, its atmosphere, in the earth, and all around. In Revelation chapter 13, and starting at verse 1, it says, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea. This is a beast. Now, these beasts, the beast representation here, does not mean human. These are hybrids. These are demonic forces, and many of them are in the sea. They are in the earth. There are many places. So the beast represents not only a nation of the ungodly that are not human, but leaders of it. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and his heads of a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like a feet of a bear, and his mouth like a mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon and gave authority to the beast. They worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who was able to make war with him? In other words, he had a military. He was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months, which is 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship the beast. Thank God we won't be here then, God willing. Now listen to this. All who dwell on the earth will worship the beast whose names have not been written in the book of life. Their names were not written in the book of life. That means that there will be many on the earth who've accepted a mark, rejected Christ as Savior, and their names were taken out of the book of life. See, everyone born into this world, his name is written in the book of life. That's why when children die, they go home. When children are aborted, they go home because their name is written in the book of life. There's a certain period of time to where you make a decision where your name is taken out or left in. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. Who kills with the sword will be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. So we saw one come out of the sea, and we see another one coming out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And it deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and live. Three things that Satan's kingdom wants to do. They want to bring the area of the worship of the beast, of the earth, of the sea, and the image. The earth, the sea, and the image. He deceives those. Again, he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Again, there is the beast of the sea, the beast of the earth, and the image of the beast. These are not humans. They are hybrids. They may be genetically produced. They may be test tube children. They are known as the seed of the serpent. Everyone say seed of the serpent. These are nations that are ruled by them. 666. The number 6 means man. There are three sixes involved. He says calculate 666. Now there's multiple meanings of 666. In fact, in the Hebrew language, the letter W is associated with 6. So you've got all internet is what? WWW. Hello. 666. You have multiple things that are associated with 6. But as the day of creation is associated with rebellion. Now, if you'll go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. The teaching is called the seed of the serpent. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created man, male and female. He created them. God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful, be multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the birds, and over the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, you shall use it for food. Also every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And so it was. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So again, I want you to understand that the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, is associated with Satan's kingdom. And in this, there was a rebellion. Now remember that Satan was already cast to the earth and his angels, in which he was in charge of a third of the angels. And because of their authority and their powers, they were able to put on flesh. And in this, while they were on the earth, and when the Lord decided to create man, they were on the earth, weren't they? So something happened. They began to rebel against God. They were wondering, why are you making man? And in Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 5, now because even though the angels were on the earth and God was creating Adam, in other words, God was telling Adam, even the angels on the earth will have to submit to you. In verse 5, so he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to the angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, this was an angel that was on the earth, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little bit lower than the angels, or that word is known as Elohim, which means lower than God. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all subjection under him, meaning Adam. He left nothing that is not put under him, Adam. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. In other words, he was talking about Adam that he created and gave him authority over the angels that had fallen and Satan. Is everybody okay? But in this, there was a rebellious of angels of Satan's kingdom, and they were rebelling against God. They were complaining and grumbling because on the sixth day he created man to have dominion over him. This is where the number six comes from, because on the sixth day. And many of the angels at this time descended and put on flesh. There was about 200 of them. And this is where we see a big rebellion begin to come forth. Not only they were removed out of the throne room of God and his glory, but now they were sentenced to the earth, and they were still rebelling against what was going on in God's creation. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 1, Genesis 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, now can an animal speak? No, animals don't speak. My dog hasn't said a word to me, although she speaks a lot of stuff, but I don't understand what the heck she's saying. She barks a lot, but we have a communication because even you can communicate without language. Amen? There's a certain area where you can communicate with tone. So in this, animals don't speak, but there was a serpent that was upright that spoke because he was really not what you call an animal. Serpent, serpentine, seraph, and seraphim. In other words, he was an angel that put on a form. He was an upright serpent. And he spoke to the woman who was in the garden, and he said, hey, has God really said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, so they weren't next to it. God has said you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. In other words, he lied to her, didn't he? Anyways, he convinced her to partake of the fruit of this tree, which was the tree of deception, perversion, and death. What he wanted to do is he wanted to get her in another state of form, another state of being, because she was glorified. So what he wanted to do is take her out of the realm that she was in, because he knew that if he can get her out of the realm, he could use her to get to Adam. And the Bible says that it was the woman who deceived Adam, not the serpent. So we know that after Eve was deceived, she brought the fruit of deception, perversion, and death to Adam, which he partook, and both of their bodies and everything changed. Now, their life was no longer in the spirit, it was in the blood, because at that time they had no blood. There was no need for blood. Life was in the spirit, not in the blood. Now they had to have blood. Can you imagine them being glorified? Somebody trips and bleeds to death? That couldn't happen. So we see here that the beasts of the field are animals, but that the serpent spoke because he was a beast of the earth. This was not an animal. This was not a human. And he knew that Adam had charge over him. In fact, there were servants in the garden that served Adam. And we talked about this last time, so I'm not going to get all into it. What was happening was the serpent needed a host willing to cooperate with his seed, physically and spiritually. A host with a curse of corruptible soil to produce his seed of offspring. Remember, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was actually the tree of deception, perversion, and death. So, now, well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 first. 1 Corinthians 15. Is everybody okay? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. This trumpet is associated with the Feast of Trumpets, which is known as the Rapture. And if you ain't right with God, you don't make it. That's the next feast to be fulfilled. It's called the Feast of Trumpets. It's the removal of the body of Christ from the earth, and the wrath of God comes. Verse 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has been put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, the corruption and death is associated with the soil. Soil for the seed of the tree, of the serpent seed. See, one of the things that occurred is that when you and I are born, we are born into this world. We are born in corruption. We are corruption. We are born in death. We've come forth from the mixture of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and tree of life. But the tree of life has been shut off to us. It's been shut off to all men until Jesus came as the tree of life. So there's something that had to happen, and we'll talk about this. And in this, so you and I were born in corruption. Very easy to carry a seed of the serpent for the soil of corruption to produce something. But there was two lineages. There was the lineage of Adam and the lineage of the seed of the serpent. Two of them. One was a full-blown serpent seed, an offspring of Satan, and another one was a mixture. See, Eve was known as the mother of all living. In other words, all seed had to first come through her. Is everybody okay? So one of the things that happened, I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 3. After Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, changed her into corruptible. She became corruptible soil. She gave to her husband, and he became corruptible soil. And that now Eve wanted to lust. That's where lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, to gain more wisdom, to be like God, because she accepted the lie that she wasn't like God already. So the serpent took advantage of this. Remember, he was a seraphim. He was an angel. And one of Satan's desires was to produce his own offspring. So on this, judgment came to the serpent because of something that he did. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, "And the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go," because he was upright. "You shall eat the dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity," hatred, "between your seed and the woman's seed. And eventually he will bruise your head, but you will bruise his heel." Then he says to the woman, "And greatly I will multiply your sorrow for your conception." And we've talked about this already. Why would he multiply the sorrow of the conception of the woman? It's because she had the first two children that she had, Cain and Abel, were the seeds, were the offspring of the serpent, not of Adam. Is everybody okay? In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife." Now so many times we look at that knowing, that means that having sex, but there's more than that. It also is representation of acknowledging that she was with child. Didn't mean it was Adam's child. "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord," or the angel of the Lord. In the process of time, and then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Doesn't say she was conceived again, it says she bore again. So she had twins. Most likely Cain and Abel came forth from the seed of the serpent, not from Adam. And we know that one, Cain and Abel. Cain was known as the wicked one. Remember, they came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen? Cain was known as the evil one. Abel was known as the good one. But he was able to do something. He did the right thing before God in the area where it was counted to him as righteousness. But eventually he was killed. And now Cain received a mark, didn't he? Just like those who in the book of Revelation will receive a mark. And then the Lord brought forth Seth. Now, if you'll go to Genesis chapter 4 in verse 25. And it says, and Adam knew his wife again. In other words, he saw that he acknowledged she was with child. And she bore a son and named him Seth, for God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and his name was Enosh. And now look at it. The men began to what? Call on the name of the Lord. Men began to call on the name of the Lord. And it says here in chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, and Adam lived 130 years and begot. It never says, see, when you begot, when it says something about begot, that means that it was fathered, human fathered. It was begot, birth of a father. Now, Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness. And it's the only place where you'll see that it was Adam's likeness. After his image, and named him Seth. Now, again, I want to share with you the importance of this, because one of the things when it says it that Adam knew Eve is because he distinguished that she was with child, but the first two children were not his. Seth was his. It was the only one that says it was in his image. The other ones were not in his image. That's why they were both eventually killed. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. And again, it says that men began to call on the name of the Lord. In other words, this gave them dominion over their corruptible soil. Has everybody got this? See, they began to call on the name of the Lord, which gave them, everyone here is born with corruptible soil. And that corruptible soil is still in us. It's still there because we were birthed from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. We were born in darkness. That's why you must be born again of the Spirit. And in this, we see that in that corruptible seed where there's that area where we want to lust, where we want to do the things, where we want to be rebellious, where we want to do our own will, where we're in a life of survival instead of surrender. That's because of the corruption that's within us, and we live this way until we are born again and we begin to change the soil and have dominion over that soil so that the seed of God can come in and grow and bear fruit. And we learn how to see. Let me tell you this. This is very important. When you plant something, do you need to water it, a seed? Amen. Satan's seeds are watered by blood. They're watered by sacrifice of humans and animals. Think about all the abortions that go on. Who's the ruler of this earth? Satan. Think about all the abortions that go on. Think about all the murders that are happening. Think about all the wars. Think about locations. Think about 9/11, how many people died that day, how much blood was shed. Satan's seeds are watered by blood. The seed of God is watered by his Spirit. In his word, there's a difference. So we see here that men began to call on the name of the Lord. Why? Because it was the only way that they could take dominion over their corruptible soil, their flesh. Did you notice that your life didn't change until you started calling on the Lord? Lord, help me. See, you went to all the secular doctors, psychiatrists, and everyone else. So they taught you how to manage your demons, but never be free from them. So they give you medication to try and control your demons. It's so that you won't respond to them, so you walk around like a zombie. And, of course, the side effects are suicide and everything else. Believe me, there's no such thing as bipolar. It's a lie from hell. There's no such thing as schizophrenia. It's a spirit of fear. Asthma is a spirit of fear. See, people are blinded. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because of the influence in the demonic realm. Do you know what? Just because you're a believer doesn't mean you can't have demons. They don't care whether you're a believer or not. Hello? People want, how can a Holy Spirit be in the same place with the devil? Well, isn't he in the same place with the devil in the whole world? Who's the ruler of the earth? The devil. Isn't his fallen angels here? Aren't there demons roaming all over the place? Isn't the Holy Spirit here? Yes. It's called the wheat and the weed. The wheat and the tares. Those are the seeds of God and the seeds of the devil. It says that God will remove them at the end. So you and I got to put up with it, but we're to have dominion over it. That's why he says, and those who believe, these signs will follow. And what will they do? The first thing it says is, in my name they will cast out devils. Hello? Doesn't say we'll go to a psychiatrist and get medication. I never read that in the Bible. I mean, people are in a nut house because they're demonized. And those seeds get passed on. Ancestral curses come down. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Oh, hallelujah. So we see that the seed of the serpent continues to flow. And as they begin to call out on the Lord, they were having dominion over the corruptible soil. Is everybody okay? In Genesis chapter 6, I'm going to show you this. I know you know it. In verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth that the daughters were born to men. And the sons of God, the angels that fell, the angels that were removed from God's throne room. What did they do? They saw the daughters of men. And they took, and they said they were beautiful. And they took them and became wives for them. And the Lord said, my spirit will not strive with man forever. Why? Because they went into the woman and produced offsprings. Those offsprings were known as Nephilim or Rephilims. And when God killed the whole earth, because there was no pure DNA of humans left, all those individuals that died because they were seeds of the serpent became demons. So they were once had bodies. Now they are disembodied spirits looking for a body. Well, you may say, well, how could God let that? You can ask him that when you go home. Because he does not interfere with the will of man. See, he gave man dominion over everything, and man gave it up, just like Esau, who sold his birthright. People are still selling their birthrights for fame and riches. Look at all the movie stars and music and all the demonic forces, all of them giving the sign of the 666, all of them giving the sign of the eye associated with Satan's kingdom. All unbelieving that they're associated and that they're the enlightened ones. That's what the word Illuminati comes from, enlightened. See, they believe that they have been chosen by God to rule the world and start their own race. But they're going to be deceived when my dad shows up. So it says here in verse 4, and there were giants on the earth in those days, on those days. So there was giants on the earth before and after. And also after, when the sons of God came in to the women, to the daughters of men, they bore children of men. They were children of them. See, these giants were also angels that put on flesh. They were large. That's where you got the mythical things of Zeus, Aphrodites, and all of these other Greek mythology things. These were fallen angels that came, that were cast here to the earth. That's why you can see the writing on the wall. Did anybody ever hear that saying, see the writing on the wall? You know what? You can see the writing on the wall. All the ancient myths and things that have degree, all of them have what they look like, angels or spacesuit individuals or flying saucers or all kinds of stuff. And these things are thousands of years old because those were written by the fallen angels also. They came to move man away from God. So they gave him technology. And that technology is here today. 666 is a representation of one government, one economy, and one religion. Let me share something with you. We are on a point of no return. It can't return. This country will never return. It's sold out, gone, done with, over with, history. The only thing you're going to see the return of is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the generation of return of the Lord. It's time for you to seek out truth and know. Because if you die in the condition of outer court, you go to hell. That's reality. Nobody wants to die in that condition. There's a drawing right now. God is drawing. You're not here by coincidence. You're here for a reason and a purpose. This message wasn't given to me. This was given to me this morning because he knew who would be here so that you may be awakened. Now look at this. And the law in verse 5, and it says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. That would only have to be demonic influence, wouldn't it? To be continuously evil. Why? Because all human DNA of a pure human had been removed. They were killed. Now we have offsprings during the time of Noah of Satan's, the seed of the serpent. The only ones that were left were Noah and his sons. And then anybody ever heard of David and Goliath? Wasn't he a giant? Well, then, so after the flood, they still were able to come through. Why? Because it's believed that one of Noah's sons married an offspring. Because not all of them were looked like giants. Some of them were beautiful women, even though they were offspring. You don't know who you're with today. You don't know who you're associating with. Believe me, there are hybrids here right now. They're here on the earth. I believe we have one running this country. They come as wolves in sheep's clothing, but their names are not written in the book of life. They have sold out their souls in believing that they will be a part of Satan's kingdom and victory. They actually believe that because they are deceived themselves. They are still eating of the tree of deception, perversion, and death and don't understand it. They're in the pit of delusion. In Jude, verse 5. And I want you to know that this Bible is true, but there is more. There's more. There's much more. In Jude, in verse 5, it says, but I want to remind you, though, you once knew this, that you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, the word Egypt means bondage or deception, afterward destroyed those who did not believe or did not follow. The Lord destroyed them. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, that's with the fallen angels that the Lord removed. They didn't keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. They left their glorified bodies to put on flesh, put on human form. He has also reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, even in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality called perversion and gone after strange flesh. I'm going to share something with you. You may think this is crazy. But they went after strange flesh. Listen, when these angels came and put on human form and put on flesh, they went and had sex and perversion with everything, even animals. That's where bestiality came from. Fish, birds, anything that they could have sex with, they produced. Did you ever wonder where dinosaurs came from? So if these offsprings of Satan, the seed of the serpent, were huge, in fact, some of them were 35 feet tall, think about where the dinosaurs came from. Is it possible that they came from also the seed of the serpent? It says that they went after strange flesh, and they are set forth in this example and suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. In 1 John chapter 3, I know some of you are saying, I never heard this stuff before. That's good. Now you're hearing it. It's time we heard this. This is not about religion. My dad didn't send Jesus. He didn't come into this world to bring religiosity. He came to set the captives free. He came to bring wisdom and knowledge by his spirit, the anointing, that we could all walk in the anointing of eternal truth, power, and presence of God Almighty, to help people who've been taken captive rescue. Hello? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. In other words, sin doesn't have dominion over him. Why? Because he's one who goes after the Lord. The corruptible soil he has dominion over to stop any seed of the serpent to be produced. What he does is he goes after to water the seed of God to maintain it and keep it. It says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for the seed of God remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In other words, the presence of evil does not have dominion over him. See, when you allow the presence of evil to have dominion over you, it's because you stopped watering. You stopped fellowshipping. Look, there's a lot of people that are called granolas out there. They're nutty and fruity. And they have a form of, they chase goosebumps and all kinds of goofiness. But they're not willing to submit to what God has got for them. They believe everything they hear is of God, when that's all they're doing is associating with familiar spirits. Because why? What does the Bible say? Submit, 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 submit. Where there's no submission, where there's no abiding, there's something that's preventing that individual. And what does the devil like to do with sheep? Take them out of a flock. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. If you're not in fellowship, you don't love your brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. Remember, that was Eve in the serpent's offspring. One who murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Why was his brother's works righteous? Because he sacrificed according to the way of God. Because he was still the tree of good and evil, wasn't he? And that's where you and I came from, didn't we? Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brethren abides in death. Oh, hallelujah. In Jude, let's go back to Jude for a second in verse 1, or somewhere around there. Jude, verse 10, let's go there. It says, but these speak evil of whatever they do not know. These are the beastly. Those are the seed of the serpent. Whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam, for profit and perish in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, me, myself, and I. In other words, they are not serving the King of Glory. They serve self. If you serve self, you serve Satan. There are clouds without waters, carried away by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of the darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with tens of thousands of his saints to execute on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers and complainers, walking according to their own flesh. They mouth great swelling words and flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who'd walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, which means praying in tongues, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life. In Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, there's something about Enoch that I want you to understand. Enoch was 365 years when he died. He was 365 years old. His first child was birthed when he was 65. Healthy man. Now, the Bible says that the Lord took him, right? I want to share with you why God allowed him and required him as one of his scribes. Enoch wrote a book. You're not going to find this in the Bible, but there are writings of Enoch. And there are a lot of things that should be in the Bible that are not, and things that are in the Bible that shouldn't be in the areas of interpretations. In certain areas where the Bible tells us that we were made a little bit lower than the angels, or we were made a little bit lower than God. It's called Elohim. The word Christ is a Greek word, but everything else is English. The word Christ means anointed one and is anointing. So there are certain things that without the Spirit of God, you will not understand. And I believe God is slowly peeling away revelation and knowledge. Now, God allowed Enoch to walk with him for 300 years. I don't think he stood around and twiddled his thumbs. I believe he was a scribe of the Lord, writing down many things, what was going on. And in the book of Enoch, it's phenomenal. And they have found his writings. They have found many of these writings in the Dead Sea Scrolls. These things are not just mystical. These are true. There are many writings in the Dead Sea Scrolls that have been kept from us. But it's our responsibility to search things out, like the book of Noah. There's a book of Noah. Enoch wrote about many things that were going on. Jasper, all kinds of stuff. James talks about these books in the Word of God. So there are many things that God is revealing to us. The book of Maccabees and so forth. All of these here were individual. There were Roman soldiers that kept records of certain things during that time of Jesus. Jesus knew who the demons were. He knew who the devils were. Didn't he call them brood of vipers? He said, who warned you? All of these things that now are coming to pass. We're seeing all of this stuff happening before our eyes. We are the generation of the return of the Lord. And it is remarkable what's going on right now. Remarkable. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So they're preventing it. They're not telling the truth, are they? For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So man is without excuse now. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to become wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Who's he speaking about? Fallen angels. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped this and served the creature rather than creator who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what was against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, that's where you get homosexuality, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God or truth in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So there is a time when there are those who are approving the unrighteous practices that will be judged the same way that those who are practicing them. So I want to encourage you. Think about how many people voted for politicians that approved same-sex marriage and abortion. Blood is on their hands. And if you have voted for them, blood is on your hands. Because you're approving of the murder of children. And that blood goes up, and it's considered a sacrifice to Satan. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 1. And it says, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh because of the corruption, the corruptible soil, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ. In other words, we cried out to God, and because we cried out to God, it gave us dominion over the corruptible soil. So we didn't allow the seed of the serpent to manifest, to bear fruit. But we allowed the seed of God to come in. And then we began to eat of the tree of life, where we watered that seed. And you and I began to change. And as we began to change, we began to change in his image. We have a desire now to please God. See, if you don't have a desire to please God, you're lost. If you don't have the fear of the Lord in you, which is reverence, honor, and respect to him, you are lost. Lost means living outside of salvation truth, lost. And if you die in that condition, Even though you think you're good, you ain't going home. Only one way on. There's only one eternal port, and that's Jesus Christ. That's it. No other eternal port. Just Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God. I'm going to close at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Boy, I got a lot more here. But praise God. Did you get the point? Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Seed of the serpent. They are sinful passions. In verse 1, oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Not to the serpent, but to Christ. But I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you have received a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, that you may put up with it or stand against it. Even though I am untrained in speech, but yet I am in not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. In this, God is saying, look it, it's time to learn so you don't get burned. It's time to kill your past so that you can live from the future. It's time to forgive and hold no more bitterness, because those are the areas where the serpent has access. If unforgiveness and bitterness and hatred and perversion is ruling you, you're lost. Here's what should be ruling us: peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. The fruits of his love. Not the evil passions of the world, but the passion and compassion of Christ Jesus in everything that we do. Again, we are in a time and season of great, great, tremendous parallel fights and battles and divisions. Tremendous. We cannot ignore what is going before our eyes and stuff it underneath a rug and hope it passes by. It will not pass by. It will only pile up and grow. It is up to the body of Christ to expose. It is up to the body of Christ to hold back the presence of evil. It's up to the body of Christ to worship and bring the presence of God in to push back the presence of evil. This is not about some religious thing again. This is about an eternal kingdom. Everyone will stand before God, and what he's going to say, what did you do what I gave you? What did you do? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Seek knowledge. Grow and mature. Seek his face. Get in fellowship. And forgive and bless. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that the seed of your word would grow and bear fruit for your glory. It be protected by the blood of the Lamb. And that you would be glorified in everything we do, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.